The topic of today's podcast is malignant bone and soft tissue lesions. Four key signs to look for on plain films when you see a lesion. These include cortical destruction, the orientation or axis of the lesion. So if they are parallel to the axis of the long bone, they are less likely to be malignant. Also look for periostitis. So thick, dense or wavy periostitis is associated with benign lesions. However, lamellated, amorphous, sunburst or Codman's triangles are associated with malignant lesions. However, the most specific sign to look for is the zone of transition. And if there is a wide zone of transition, this is most associated with aggressive underlying lesions. However, an aggressive lesion is not necessarily malignant. It may be, for example, infective. If there are multiple small lesions or small holes, this is termed permeative lesions and is commonly seen in myeloma, primary bone lymphoma, Ewing's infection, or eosinophilic granulomas. So those are permeative tumours. Just dividing a few of the lesions by age group, in patients that are less than 30, consider Ewing's and osteosarcomas as the most likely. Patients between the ages of 30 and 40, consider GCTs or giant cell tumours, parosteal sarcomas, malignant fibrous histiocytomas, or primary lymphoma of the bone. And in patients over 40 years old, consider chondrosarcoma, metastases, and myeloma. If a lesion appears cystic but is not a bursa or a ganglion, you need to give gadolinium to further assess. That is always the next step. If there is a homogeneous enhancement, then you're talking about a solid mass. If there is rim enhancement only, it's more likely to be a collection or abscess. And just a specific small mention about metastases. Prostate, carcinoid, and medulloblastoma metastases will essentially always be blastic or sclerotic, and renal and thyroid primary malignancies will often have lytic bone lesions. Four key signs to look for on plain films when you see a lesion. These include cortical destruction, the orientation or axis of the lesion. So if they are parallel to the axis of the long bone, they are less likely to be malignant. Also look for periostitis. So thick, dense or wavy periostitis is associated with benign lesions. However, lamellated, amorphous, sunburst or Codman's triangles are associated with malignant lesions. However, the most specific sign to look for is the zone of transition. And if there is a wide zone of transition, this is most associated with aggressive underlying lesions. However, an aggressive lesion is not necessarily malignant. It may be, for example, infective. If there are multiple small lesions or small holes, this is termed permeative lesions and is commonly seen in myeloma, primary bone lymphoma, Ewing's infection, or eosinophilic granulomas. So those are permeative tumours. Just dividing a few of the lesions by age group, in patients that are less than 30, consider Ewing's and osteosarcomas as the most likely. Patients between the ages of 30 and 40, consider GCTs or giant cell tumors, parosteosarcomas, malignant fibrous histiocytomas, or primary lymphoma of the bone. And in patients over 40 years old, consider chondrosarcoma, metastases, and myeloma. If a lesion appears cystic but is not a bursa or a ganglion, you need to give gadolinium to further assess. That is always the next step. If there is a homogeneous enhancement, then you're talking about a solid mass. If there is rim enhancement only, it's more likely to be a collection or abscess. And just a specific small mention about metastases. Prostate, carcinoid, and medulloblastoma metastases will essentially always be blastic or sclerotic, and renal and thyroid primary malignancies will often have lytic bone lesions. Talking about bone tumours, the first we're going to talk about is osteosarcoma, and this is a lesion that is almost exclusively seen in patients less than 30 years old, with the exception of patients with underlying Paget's disease or previous radiotherapy. They will usually contain sclerosis, but can also appear lytic. Things to look for are metastases to the lungs, which can give rise to underlying pneumothoraces. And on MRI, you will often have a large soft tissue component with heterogeneous T1 and T2 signal. Treatment will normally involve chemotherapy and wide local excision. A subtype is the parosteal osteosarcoma. This originates from the periosteum and grows outside of the bone and is usually very large at presentation. It has a better prognosis than osteosarcoma until the cortex is breached. These will usually occur at the distal femur behind the knee, and a differential therefore will include cortical desmoid and myositis ossificans. The next tumour is a Ewing's. These are often permeative long bone tumours in children. Other locations include the metaphysis, the diametaphysis, and flat bones. Treatment normally is chemoradiation and wide local excision where appropriate. The next lesion is a chondrosarcoma. These typically appear as snowflake or popcorn-like amorphous calcifications in flat bones or proximal tubular bones. In essence, they look very similar to enchondromas, but will often have an associated soft tissue mass. Bottom line, if something looks like an enchondroma, but if it is painful and there is periostitis or cortical destruction, a chondrosarcoma is more likely than an enchondroma. Treatment, again, is wide local excision. So talking about the next lesion, which is malignant GCT or giant cell tumour. These will look very similar to the benign GCTs. The thing to look for essentially is recurrent disease after treatment or metastases, which will normally go to the lung. Next lesion is malignant fibrous histiocytoma. These are almost always lytic and will occur in the fourth decade of life. There may be a sequestrum seen, and they will look like a fibrosarcoma, as in they are T2 dark. A desmoid tumour usually is seen in soft tissues, but can also occur in bones. If it does occur within the bone, it will be loculated with thick septae and a narrow zone of transition, and there will be spicules seen. The next lesion is primary lymphoma of bone. This tends to look permeative or moth-eaten. Patients are often asymptomatic with primary bone lymphoma. Next lesion is metastatic disease, and essentially this can look like anything at all. So if you have a patient with known underlying primary malignancy, or if they are older than 40 years old, essentially consider metastases with any bone lesion. Myeloma will often look as a diffuse permeative pattern. They are cold on bone scans, and this is the reason that skeletal surveys are still required to assess for dissemination of disease. They can sometimes present as a single lytic lesion, and these are known as plasmocytomas. A plasmacytoma will have a mini brain appearance or a cerebral appearance in the spine. The last lesion we're going to talk about is a chordoma. These tend to be seen in patients who are between the ages of 30 and 60, and they are most common in the sacrum, followed by the clivus and the vertebrae. Essentially, these are midline tumours, and they will be T2 bright on imaging. Talking about bone tumours, the first we're going to talk about is osteosarcoma. And this is a lesion that is almost exclusively seen in patients less than 30 years old, with the exception of patients with underlying Paget's disease or previous radiotherapy. They will usually contain sclerosis, but can also appear lytic. Things to look for are metastases to the lungs, which can give rise to underlying pneumothoraces. And on MRI, you will often have a large soft tissue component with heterogeneous T1 and T2 signal. Treatment will normally involve chemotherapy and wide local excision. A subtype is the periosteal osteosarcoma. This originates from the periosteum and grows outside of the bone and is usually very large at presentation. It has a better prognosis than osteosarcoma until the cortex is breached. These will usually occur at the distal femur behind the knee, and a differential therefore will include cortical desmoid and myositis ossificans. The next tumour is a Ewing's. These are often permeative long bone tumours in children. Other locations include the metaphysis, the diametaphysis, and flat bones. Treatment normally is chemoradiation and wide local excision where appropriate. The next lesion is a chondrosarcoma. These typically appear as snowflake or popcorn-like amorphous calcifications in flat bones or proximal tubular bones. In essence, they look very similar to enchondromas, but will often have an associated soft tissue mass. Bottom line, if something looks like an enchondroma, but if it is painful and there is periostitis or cortical destruction, a chondrosarcoma is more likely than an enchondroma. Treatment, again, is wide local excision. So talking about the next lesion, which is malignant GCT or giant cell tumour, these will look very similar to the benign GCTs. The thing to look for essentially is recurrent disease after treatment or metastases, which will normally go to the lung. Next lesion is malignant fibrous histiocytoma. These are almost always lytic and will occur in the fourth decade of life. There may be a sequestrum seen, and they will look like a fibrosarcoma, as in they are T2 dark. A desmoid tumor usually is seen in soft tissues, but can also occur in bones. If it does occur within the bone, it will be loculated with thick septae and a narrow zone of transition, and there will be spicules seen. The next lesion is primary lymphoma of bone. This tends to look permeative or moth-eaten. Patients are often asymptomatic with primary bone lymphoma. Next lesion is metastatic disease, and essentially this can look like anything at all. So if you have a patient with known underlying primary malignancy, or if they are older than 40 years old, essentially consider metastases with any bone lesion. Myeloma will often look as a diffuse permeative pattern. They are cold on bone scans, and this is the reason that skeletal surveys are still required to assess for dissemination of disease. They can sometimes present as a single lytic lesion, and these are known as plasmocytomas. A plasmocytoma will have a mini brain appearance or a cerebral appearance in the spine. The last lesion we're going to talk about is a chordoma. These tend to be seen in patients who are between the ages of 30 and 60, and they are most common in the sacrum, followed by the clivus and the vertebrae. Essentially, these are midline tumours, and they will be T2 bright on imaging. Soft tissue tumours. First lesion we're going to talk about is pleomorphic undifferentiated sarcomas, otherwise known as malignant fibrous histiocytomas and liposarcomas. Consider these lesions if you see a mass in the retroperitoneum, for example, or in the thigh. Ironically, they may not contain fat, so be aware that that may be a picture you see on MR, especially imaging. If you see a malignant joint lesion, there is only one diagnosis to consider, and that is a synovial sarcoma. Be aware there are other lesions that may expand into the joint, so only consider this if you are certain that it is arising from the joint and is malignant. So a synovial sarcoma will have no differential diagnosis and will appear as a homogeneous high T2 lesion. However, there are some other associated signs, and these include the triple sign, as well as the bowl of grapes sign. They can often be painful with soft tissue calcifications and will almost always present in the legs. Just as a side note, be aware that synovial sarcomas may give rise to cannonball mets in the lung. So this is one of the differentials if you come across cannonball metastases in the lungs. The next lesion is synovial osteochondromatosis. This will present as multiple calcific loose bodies within a joint. Frustratingly, about 30% of these do not calcify and will therefore resemble another lesion known as pigmented villonodular synovitis. So PVNS will present as joint pain and swelling with some periarticular erosions most of the time. This will never calcify. And on MRI, you will see low signal T1 and T2 lining the synovium, and this is due to hemosiderin deposition. So with those two lesions, if there is calcification, then you will call it synovial osteochondromatosis. If it is not calcified, it may be synovial osteochondromatosis, or it may be pigmented villonodular synovitis and will require further imaging or investigation. The next lesions are hemangiomas, something we've all heard of. Thing to look for here is cortical holes. They must be cortically based, and therefore it might look permeative or moth-eaten. The key is to examine soft tissues, and you will see phleboliths or little calcifications in the soft tissues, and that will give the diagnosis away for hemangiomas. On a side note, atypical synovial cysts, for example, Baker cysts, they must be associated with the joint and will have homogeneous high T2 signal that is often septated. Soft tissue tumours. First lesion we're going to talk about is pleomorphic undifferentiated sarcomas, otherwise known as malignant fibrous histiocytomas and liposarcomas. Consider these lesions if you see a mass in the retroperitoneum, for example, or in the thigh. Ironically, they may not contain fat, so be aware that that may be a picture you see on MR, especially imaging. If you see a malignant joint lesion, there is only one diagnosis to consider, and that is a synovial sarcoma. Be aware there are other lesions that may expand into the joint, so only consider this if you are certain that it is arising from the joint and is malignant. So a synovial sarcoma will have no differential diagnosis and will appear as a homogeneous high T2 lesion. However, there are some other associated signs, and these include the triple sign, as well as the bowl of grapes sign. They can often be painful with soft tissue calcifications and will almost always present in the legs. Just as a side note, be aware that synovial sarcomas may give rise to cannonball mets in the lung. So this is one of the differentials if you come across cannonball metastases in the lungs. The next lesion is synovial osteochondromatosis. This will present as multiple calcific loose bodies within a joint. Frustratingly, about 30% of these do not calcify and will therefore resemble another lesion known as pigmented villonodular synovitis. So PVNS will present as joint pain and swelling with some periarticular erosions most of the time. This will never calcify. And on MRI, you will see low signal T1 and T2 lining synovium, and this is due to hemosiderin deposition. So with those two lesions, if there is calcification, then you will call it synovial osteochondromatosis. If it is not calcified, it may be synovial osteochondromatosis, or it may be pigmented villonodular synovitis and will require further imaging or investigation. The next lesions are hemangiomas, something we've all heard of. Thing to look for here is cortical holes. They must be cortically based, and therefore it might look permeative or moth-eaten. The key is to examine soft tissues, and you will see phleboliths or little calcifications in the soft tissues, and that will give the diagnosis away for hemangiomas. On a side note, atypical synovial cysts, for example, Baker cysts, they must be associated with the joint and will have homogeneous high T2 signal that is often septated.